Thinking about this beautiful mystery, this reality of the baptism of the Lord in the River Jordan makes me think back to visiting the Jordan River myself and on different Holy Land pilgrimages. And going to that place, going to the River Jordan, for me has always been an experience of great contrasts. You know, on one side, I remember the first time being there, going and there are soldiers everywhere on both sides of the bank. Israeli and Jordanian, and there are also some jeeps with, you know, mounted machine guns, kind of a time of higher tension, and we're told, well, you can be here for 30 minutes. You got 20 minutes to say Mass, you know, and Father Peter Musset, you know, kind of he did his best to reverently but speedily celebrate Mass, you know, with us at the Jordan River under kind of the tension of this moment. I remember another time, the last time that I was there in 2019, going to visit again that site of baptism at the Jordan River, and when our bus is going to go down the road that would take us to that site, we're actually diverted, and the people said, well, there was a big rainstorm last night, which was true, and the road needs a bit of work before you can come down for to go to the river. And so why don't you go on to your next place first and then swing back around, and then you can come down the road. And so that's what we did, just kind of innocently off we go. And then we came back and visited the Jordan River and the baptism site. What we found out only afterwards, and I'd say thankfully afterwards, was that the road work it needed was that the rain had caused mud, which had caused landmines to slide onto the road that had been put out into that territory. And so they had to remove the mines from the road before our bus could go down it. And so this is kind of the reality. And of course, that's taken on even more tragic dimensions, you know, in very recent times. And so there's this side of it, of the human strife and warfare and sin and that whole kind of realm of things. And at the same time, this muddy, intense Jordan River is also intersected by another kind of river at the same time. That's a river of the great flow of pilgrims that go to this place, that go to the Jordan River. Pilgrim followers of Jesus Christ, those baptized, you know, themselves through Christ into that divine life, who are children of God, who go to this great flow, this river of people living by faith, hope, and charity. And so this place is something of such great contrasts. I love to meditate on the baptism of Jesus. I think it's such a beautiful reality, and one way I meditate on it is, of course, it's the first luminous mystery of the luminous mysteries of the Rosary. And just for a little bit to go into the depths of what the baptism of the Lord means is very meaningful for me, and I love to do that. And so I just want to share kind of two little brief meditations that I often like to do with this mystery of the Rosary, proposing that kind of this kind of way of meditating on those mysteries is something that we can do really, obviously, for all the mysteries of the Rosary, and maybe help us reach new levels of depth, you know, of encounter, of experiencing God's goodness through the Rosary. So the first meditation that always kind of strikes me is just the reality of Jesus with his immersion into the waters and then his rising back up out of the River Jordan, you know, sinking into the waters and then coming back, breaking through the surface, back out into the air. And what that really means. And so as I meditate upon that reality, you know, I like to just kind of experience, you know, with Jesus going into those waters, being tipped into these waters, you know, into that darkness, into the rushing water, you know, kind of just submerged into this kind of alien reality and kind of dangerous reality. You know, humans don't live underwater, you know, and so to experience that kind of with Jesus. And that water immersion that Jesus goes through really signifies a much deeper and dangerous immersion that Jesus willingly chose to go into, an immersion into our human darkness, into our chaos, into our sin, into our death, into our tomb, as the Son of God chose to descend, to come into our world as the Son of Man, And not only that, but as the suffering servant of God for us. And so on that level then, to experience, you know, interiorly with Jesus, his great desire, his willingness to do that, his loving obedience of the Father and his desire to save, and his great humility to sink into all of this for us. As we hear in our second reading, the kindness and generous love of God. And how Jesus does that by sinking not only into generic human mess, but into my mess itself. And then that second movement of the meditation so often for me is then that other side. Jesus then comes back out of those waters. He rises up out of the Jordan waters and, you know, experiences that breaking of the surface back into light, back into air, you know, and that rising back from those dark waters that really prefigures how Jesus then will rise from the dead, will rise from all those wages of our sin. And to think about that breath as he comes back up from the waters, like maybe that first breath in his resurrection. And that beauty that, as Peter said at Pentecost, that God raised him up, releasing him from the throes of death because it was impossible for him to be held by it. And so then again, experiencing interiorly with Jesus, this, I think, the exaltation of the resurrection, of that resurrected life and that power of the Spirit that is there. And so the first meditation that I like to do is just focusing on that into the waters and then back up from the waters. And what does that mean in the life of Jesus? And then what does it mean for him? And what does that mean then because I am in Jesus, because of my own baptism, that mystery of his death and resurrection, that saving work, and all that that's been poured over my head in baptism. I have received that and passed through that as well. And so I can enter deeply into really all of these realities of the rosary. And so if that first one is a contrast between the sinking in and the rising up, the second meditation I often like to do is right after he's come back out of the waters. And it's that reality, there's Jesus kind of standing in the Jordan after his baptism, still in these waters, and at the same time receiving that Spirit, the Holy Spirit upon himself, in the form of a dove, and knowing the Father's great love for him and his words of love, my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. And so there's this contrast there as well. Jesus, he's still in the flowing water. He's still in the dark and murky currents, you know, of the Jordan River and all that represents. And yet the Holy Spirit there is upon him, anointing him in his humanity, as that Messiah, being given that power then to go out and to battle Satan, to battle evil. And God the Father looks upon him with such great love. And so, yes, there's this water and all that there is, but there's also this light. There's this love that is upon Jesus. And that's our situation as well. We enter into that reality. That's our Christian reality. You know, we're still in this world with its struggles. We wrestle with our own worldly desires. We're vulnerable to things and suffer many different things. We inflict suffering upon ourselves in many different ways. And yet also, the grace of God has appeared, as St. Paul said. We have the bath of rebirth of baptism. And we don't just stand in this world alone. And so, again, I like to, as a movement of that, picture myself with Jesus, in Jesus, the one there in that Jordan River and experiencing that great contrast as well. Still in the flow of the Jordan River, still with my own share of struggles, of failings, of sin, of kind of vulnerability to what happens in this world, but then also in that standing in the power of the Holy Spirit who rests upon me under the Father's voice of love and good pleasure for me. Because I am in Jesus. And then exulting at that, of being strengthened in this hope, breathing myself that air, that warmth of divine life that has been shared with me. And then I can live differently, even in this world. As St. Paul says, temperately, justly, and devoutly, in this age, as we await that blessed hope of the full and final coming of our Lord. And so I offer you these two meditations on the baptism of the Lord to help maybe go more deeply into this particular mystery, but also to help us just, what can we do with these beautiful mysteries of the life of our Lord and of Mary that are presented to us in the Rosary? You know, I think it could be a beautiful way to pray of drawing more from it, of really receiving more. And we can do that, and we can use that kind of vivid prayer experience because of the grace of God and access to God that we have through our baptism. We can go to the Rosary to really encounter Jesus, to experience his life and be more deeply inserted into it, to encounter Mary and her devotion to her son and her great trust and exalting in God and receive the graces I need for the day. And so I encourage you to enter into that, you know, to enter into those encounters, the deep parts of the mysteries, you know, for your baptism has indeed made you to become heirs in hope of eternal life.